Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now. Presented by We Talk Productions. Black Herb America come to you every Tuesday evening if there are no technical difficulties from Blog Talk from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. They were sad that we had Carter Steve, you know, who has an IT person with him. He come on Saturday nights from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. and he never have any technical difficulties because he got a friend that know all the stuff about this technology. I'm just learning. Tonight, guess what? For the first time in about 3-4 months, there is no guest tonight. It's just you and the listener to my voice. I'm not going to bore you. And I'm not going to keep you for the full hour, for the full 45 minutes to an hour. You know, it's going to be nice, short, and sweet, and to the point. Now, this past week, the last 48 hours, there were two white young men that committed very heinous crime, murder. Terrorism, you want to say. And I just want to know this. Why black suspects are treated differently than white suspect from the police? For example, the white guy that shot the Waffle House was on the run for 48 hours. He was caught with another AR-15 and a handgun. And guess what? He was just handcuffed. Not one wound, not one mark on his face. Anybody close your eyes. supposed to have would have been a black young man the same age, what do you think he would have happened? He wouldn't see the light of tomorrow. He would have been shot dead. You remember the young man about a month ago in Brooklyn? He had a lead pipe that looked like a gun. You know, he was pointing at people. He pointed at the car. They shot him 10, 15 times. How about Stephon Clark, who was shot dead at the hands of police? And he only had his son. He had no weapon. He had no AR-15. He had no handgun. He had a cell phone. And they shot him dead 20 times. Another one. Okay, Stephon Clark. Now, Alton Sterling, who was fatally shot while selling CDs. I ain't know you kill somebody with CDs. Or maybe, you know, the songs weren't that good on the CDs, but he was shot to death by police. Terrence Crutcher, September 16, 2016, in Tulsa. He was unarmed. You know why the cops shot him? Because he looked like a bad dude. In quotation marks, U.S. Day Today got all the listing. And let me see, U.S. Day Today, March 30th, 2018. The cops said that Terrence Crutcher looked like a bad dude. So he shot him. And well, guess what? Terrence Crutcher's hands was up in the air. Up in the air. Oh, Philando Castile, July 6, 2016, in Minnesota. He pulled over for a broken taillight. Radio call showed the officer thought Castile resembled a robbery suspect. Robbery, not murder, not assault, robbery suspect. Hey, man, in fact, in the robbery, nobody got killed. He looked like a robbery suspect, so they shot him dead. Alton Sterling, July 5th, 2016 was a rough year for us. Walter Scott, April 4th, 2015, in North Charleston, South Carolina. A video captured police officer Michael Stick shooting Walter Scott in the back five times as he fled. And guess what? Scott was unarmed. No AR-15, no handgun, nothing. No knife. Eric Harris, April 2nd, 2015, in Oklahoma. A volunteer chef deputy. Name a real cop. Shot and unarmed. Eric Harris. And all he was doing was, Eric Harris was selling a gun and everything. So they felt, since he was, but how can you sell a gun and you're unarmed? Somebody. They say he thought it was Tony Robinson, March 6, 2015, Wisconsin. The officer responded to a complaint of a person jumping in front of cars and attacking people. Nonviolent. He was 19 years old and he was unarmed, shot him dead. You see where I'm getting at, folks? Romaine Brisbane, December 2nd, 2014. It was a drug deal gone bad. He fled. He put his hands in his pocket. And the officer, Mark Ryan, thought he was going for a gun. Guess he was reaching for a pill bottle. Hold up. What does a pill bottle look like a gun? Tamar Rice, November 22nd, 2014. You get where I'm getting at, folks? All these young men, was unarmed or had something of an object, and the police shot him. Now, white kid going to a black church, shoot up 19 members. He was taking the Burger King before he went to jail. The kid that shot up the school about 3 months ago. You see how nice and warm and you know, they didn't hurt him. They didn't drop. They show him next day going to his hearing, to his raiment. No bruises, no anything. Taking it to custody. And, he had to go to the psych ward for 72 hours. Just the kid that shot up the White House that I talked about a few minutes ago. They caught him with AR-15 and a handgun. Guess what happened to him? He wasn't shot. He wasn't punched. He wasn't cussed at. Took him in alive. And then yesterday in Toronto, the white guy after running for a mile and a half with a vehicle, killed about 10 people, injured another dozen of people. The officer asked him, please, did you hear the video? Please get on the ground. And the guy said, shoot me. He said, please get on the ground. And he went over there and handcuffed him. I had never heard an officer tell a black man, please. Have you? If you did, let me know. Why are certain groups of people in this country that have interaction with the law enforcement agency, their families never seen them again? Because shoot up a neighborhood, shoot up a school, shoot up a restaurant, kill people, stay, go in the hotel, throw bombs out, shoot up everybody, shoot 50 people. They're trying to get him alive. Are you trying to tell me that a white man's life is more important than a black man's life? And you want to know something? And there's more, too. I could just keep going. I'll be here all day, all night long. Laquan McDonald, October 20th, 2014, in Chicago. Officer Jason Van Dyke fired 16 shots at Laquan McDonald, a teenager who appears to be running away from police. Kept fired after the teen fell to the pavement. Now, hold up. Homeboy for Waffle House was gone. Homeboy for Waffle House was gone for 48 hours. He was on the run for 48 hours. Caught him. They didn't shoot at him. They didn't do anything to him. But homeboy ran down the block. And officer shot his weapon until the teen fell to the ground. But a person could hit for a mile and a half, take his van, kill a dozen people, wounded another dozen, and the officer's going to ask him, please get to the ground. Now let's look at if the white boy was black, and I gotta say, big up to James Shaw Jr. He's 29 years old with a 4-year-old daughter who became a hero and saved everybody's life. It would have been more people dead if he didn't jump in, you know. And let me tell you something. If James Shaw Jr. had been white, guess what? He would be on every talk show for the next week. Every talk show. He would be on Good Morning America, CBS This Morning, Today's Show on NBC, Meet the Press, Face the Nation, Dateline. He would be on all the CNN, MSNBC. He probably been on Fox, too. I think he was just interviewed one time. He got a little medal. Everybody clapped. We brought a four-year-old daughter this morning and everything. Just glad to see it. But all I'm trying to say is why, if we are suspect of a felony, we should, I mean, one had a pill bottle, another one has hands pocket, another one has hands in the air. He looked like to be a bad dude. That was the officer said. U.S. Today. I'm reading this all U.S. Today. Hey, what's up, Carl? How you doing, man?
What's up, Kenny?
Hey, I just want to add one other thing. They all have a common denominator. The police officer was white, and the police officer was found not guilty. Why, murder? I can keep on going on. Hold up. Let me read one more. Michael Brown Jr., August 9th, 2014, Ferguson, Missouri. You know, he had his unarmed, he was shot six times. Dead. Matter of fact, these officers did not even get charged. No criminal charges were brought against the police officer named Wilson in 2015. What's wrong with our life? How come we just can't get, you know, if a police officer tell me, hold, I'm stopping, even if I didn't do anything. My hand's going up in the air. Hold up. Be careful. Don't make no sudden moves. You're going to get shot. But you could go missing for 48 hours and have an AR-15 and a handgun. No bruises, no tussle. I give them. What do you think would happen if Michael Brown Jr. would have an AR-15? Well, he got shot anyway. He's dead anyway. I was just saying. You think if that showed you that police officers have the training and they practice, and they know how to practice control and discipline, but only with a certain population, but with another certain population, black men, all of a sudden he looked like he's a tough guy, or he's gone for a gun, it's a cell phone, it's a pill bottle, or how about this, hands up in the air? Wait, I'm trying to go to the next one. I can't breathe. And the guy in Baltimore, Eric Gardner, July 17, 2014, New York City, first line, I can't breathe. He said it multiple times. He was rushed down to the ground, and he caught a heart attack in a chokehold. And guess what, folks? Police officers gave him chokeholds. No charges brought to him. And even the medical examiner said that his death was a homicide. Guess what happened to the police? They're still police officers. But I could run naked in the state with an AR-15 and a handgun. As long as I'm white, I don't have to worry about being shot. I could kill 20 people with a vehicle. And they are asking, please give yourself up. Please. I'm not lying. I watch Good Morning America every morning because of Michael Strahan, the ex-football player. I follow my football players. I've been following football players since I was a little boy. You know, that's the only reason I watch to see how he's doing. And they show the video. And the police had the gun in a shooting position. And he said, please get down on the ground. And guess what the white boy said? Please shoot me. And you have to get, please lay down on the ground with your hands spread. And the white boy complied. He said, please. Now, if that would have been a brother, it would have been no police, it would have been no words, he would have been dead. He probably been shot 16 times. It would have been a lawful shooting. If that would have been a black man in that vehicle that mowed down 12 victims and injured another 10, he would have been dead. He would have had no chance to get out of it. Even Michael Strahan and George Stephanopoulos said, I was surprised he was able to get out the van without getting shot. Because you didn't know if he had a gun or anything. White officer did not retaliate. He asked, please lay down after mowing down 24 people. What do you think about that, Carlton? This is Carlton's been done. Saturdays, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. He never had any technical problems because he have an ITT person with him. What's that?
Well, you know, maybe that's a white privilege when it comes to that issue.
You talk about that 2 weeks ago. You just had a whole show with two white professors, women. And by the way, y'all, they were politically correct now. And, you know, I thought it was going to be a little debate. They were very nice towards each other. And I know Carlton will, he get into some issues, but he would be the nice host two Saturday night. I'm proud of you, bro. Boy, you act like a real journalist that night.
You know, well, that's what's going on, you know. We got this white privilege everywhere. I mean, it's in the workplace. It's in the police, the practice of the police. And you put white privilege with fear or content for an individual, then you got a dead man on the street. You understand what I'm saying?
But Carl, we live in a society. You know what? I'm going to say this. Before I said that, I was going to play devil's advocate, but I'm not going to play devil's advocate. But you got the president of United States last summer at a national law enforcement convention. And you know what he said? Beat up those thugs. And you know, thugs ain't no but a cold word for the N-word. I'm going to say it outright, right, because some millennials don't know what N-word means. Thug is the new code word for nigga. Yeah, I said it. It's just a code word. And he gave the police all over the United States permission to bring harm to us.
That's right. Not that they haven't been doing it anyway.
Yeah. They've been doing it since I was a little boy. You know.
Yeah.
I've seen police brutality all my life. And I just want to say this. Suppose the first officer on the scene, right, was a black officer to that white boy in Toronto at the van. And he said, police, and he shot him. I wonder what happened to him. Because there was an incident in Minnesota last year. A white woman and a black officer came in, and something happened.
And a white officer. It was two of them.
Huh?
A black and a white officer. I think the black guy shot across, the white officer shot the leg.
Well, the black officer got in
That's
trouble.
That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah,
black officer got in trouble.
Yeah.
Black officer got in trouble. I don't think the black officer got in trouble for shooting somebody. I think he got in trouble for shooting a white woman.
Okay.
Because
it's white privilege again.
Yeah. If you look at our history, if a black man does something to a white, even in 2018, about to be 2019, if a black man do something to a white woman, he dead. And let me tell you something. Like there's this kid, right? He just got released out of Georgia State Prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was was a good, I mean, he was like 18, and the white girl was 16. Took her to the prom, had sex with her, consensual sex, and her parents found out, and she said, he raped me. And he was on a 4-year scholarship to the University of Georgia Bulldogs. And he just came out of prison. And this happened like 2000, 2001, 2000. I mean, he'd been on 60 Minutes. He'd been on Brett Gummel's show, Real Sports. And they followed him too, man. He's a grown man now. But he was a kid, man. He went to prison on rape. You know what? It wasn't about, you know, he had the nerve to take a white girl to the prom and have sex with her. You know, the white boys still don't like us having, I don't care how many interracial couples they show on TV. I don't care how many interracial couples they show on the movie screen. You know, white boys don't like brothers dealing with their women, even today.
Well, why do you think that is? Is they trying to maintain the gene pool?
Yeah, you know, let me tell you something. I went to school with white boys. They feel that's their property. That's theirs. Matter of fact, they gave OJ's sister permission to deal with that white gal. And you see how white folk turned, well, everybody turned on him. Athletes and actors was given, well, in Hollywood, they don't even touch Hollywood, but they've been doing that since the 30s and the 40s. Well, all I'm saying is, man, that the institutions in this country, and I said this 2 weeks ago, the institution, especially the criminal justice system, does not have the black man back. I'm going to go a step further. The criminal justice system is anti-black man. And I got evidence. It's documented. If me and the white guy did the same crime, he gonna spend less time in jail than I am.
He's less likely to go to jail than you are.
And they're less likely to go to jail than I am. Right. You're so right. Matt, I think it's 33% less likely not to go. They could be put in some other programs. They try everything before they throw the book at them. You know,
right.
You
best case scenario.
Huh?
Best case scenario in their favor.
And you know, not only criminal justice system, all the systems, the political system, the educational system, you name it. We still have to try to live down our stereotype if we're in the professional world. We have to live down our stereotype and assimilate to their theories and their thinking and their lifestyle. Well, I see your lifestyle up front. I don't like it. I like my own lifestyle. I like my cultural lifestyle. To tell you the truth, but you will be a threat if you do not assimilate to the thing. In fact, what's his name? The ex-state Secretary of State, he said that, hey, the Muslims, the Syrians, the Iranians, they could come over to this country. Yeah. They could migrate to this country, but better to stay to our ways. And I quoted him. I said, whoa. You mean to tell me they can't go to the mosque? Mm-hmm. At one time, right around 9/11, you know, Muslims were scared to go worship. They would be heavily threatened by police. They will be heavily threatened in New York. You know, so I don't know if it's ever going to change because, well, you know what? They've always been killing us, Carlton. They used to string us up.
That's right. That's nothing new.
It's nothing new.
Nothing new.
What's that record say? Nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. Now it comes to us at police. Now it comes to us at education. Now it comes to us in the political system. Now it comes to us and even going into the store, you're being followed all over the place. Right. If you look a certain way. I know, I'm always being followed. Because I look a stereotypical way. Yo, man, got anything to say to the audience, Carlton?
Well, you know, to the audience, you know, this show was basically, you know, you're talking about white privilege, and basically that stemmed from racism. So we cannot legislate racism, Finny. So what's the solution to it? How do you propose a solution to racism? Because it's racism and what you're speaking about. That's how you get white privilege. And that's how you get people making these decisions based on stereotypical ideas that they have about people, or falsehoods that they have about everybody, or fears that they have about a community. Like I always say, if you are fearful of a population, you should not be employed in that population. I don't care which job it is, because you're not going to hire that person. You're not going to give them a fair chance in school. He might not make it home if you're a police officer, if you're working in the criminal justice system. And of course, you're going to sentence him to go to prison or longer sentences and things like that. So if you can't be fair, and we can't legislate a guy's, prejudice. So this problem not going to go away.
Man,
unless,
because I have a solution. I have a solution. And it's been discussed. I've been saying it now. I've been beating this drum for a good while now. Financial economic independence. Having your own. Having your own. Clean up your own neighborhood. If you get some, if you start your own, becoming entrepreneurs and starting your, or taking back our communities, or trying to protect the communities that are left, because gentrification is hitting hard all over this country. And protecting the communities we have left so we can clean up our own educational system or start our own educational system. But it started out that we got to take – and another thing, you don't hear Chinese folks getting gunned down by police. You don't hear Indians getting gunned down. I talk about the Indians from India getting gunned down by police.
Oh, okay. They already gunned the other ones down, Kenny.
Economically independent. As a matter of fact, if they ask the government for something, they got resources in their hand. They do it themselves.
Economic independent. Let me get this right. Economic independence is going to stop white folks from gunning us down.
No.
Because we have Tulsa, Oklahoma. They had economic independence, right? You know the story about Tulsa, right? Greenville.
Yeah,
right?
They burned us down. They burned them out. They set bombs.
Yeah.
Economic independence will give us a chance not to be dependent on them. It also gives us a chance to address our own social ills. Well, companies, guys,
better
will
chance,
sell.
Right.
It will give us a chance. Let me tell you something, Carl. Police don't go up in Chinatown doing that mess. Police don't go into the Jewish, acidic Jewish area doing that mess. Police don't go into the Indian neighborhood doing that mess. Know why? Because they have their own resources. And we're so dependent on their systems. On their system that I don't think it's the racist part. They had no respect for us. A lot of white officers don't like going into Asians. But you'll see them shooting them down.
Let me be the devil's advocate for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
What's the crime rate in Chinatown?
It's very, 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 very low. I don't know. But it's very, very, very low.
How many times you hear about guys running around Chinatown shooting up and somebody got shot because they were sitting outside having a shootout?
They got gangs.
Now, How many times do you hear that?
They, it's not publicized. It's not in the media. And what make another thing, the reason why is that crime does go on in Chinatown. It does. And they prey on each other because that's who they live among. But they will make us the boogeyman. We're the face of domestic violence. We're the face of child abuse. We're the face of child support. More white boys owe child support than blacks. More white boys commit domestic violence on their women than black men. And let me tell you, more whites sell drugs than black guys.
Well, here you go. Now you back
to the
white privilege thing again.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're back to white privilege again. So, you know, and legislate that. And collective economics is a good way to start helping
us. White privilege is legislated, Carlton. White privilege is legislated.
It's legislated. Nobody's paying any attention. Nobody's paying any attention. Oh, for the Constitution. Okay.
I can hear the framers in heaven now, or hell, saying, man, we built all this country up, man. We shot down these, they took their land. We built nice institutions and everything. And they still going to use drugs, the opiates. They still going to mess up the food. Man, we had everything set up for them. And they're messing it up. They're messing up the land, messing up earth, waters. You know, I can hear them talk about it. It was all that constitutes the laws and the schooling and jobs and career. It wasn't for us. It was for them. They were conquered. They
Man
won.
Right.
They won. They won.
Right.
You know, and they were just building for the future, building for the future. Not keeping us in mind. So really, the law don't put that. They make laws against black men, like the drug war, the so-called drug war. Man, so many DEA got paid, SWAT got paid, politicians got paid, everybody got paid, and we got thrown in prison. 2 million of us.
But, you know, in terms of the drug war,
taken from the neighborhoods and their families.
Yeah, in terms of the drug war, you got a lot of blacks and Latinos that going and being incarcerated because of that. Now, one of the reasons why they're being incarcerated is they are open air drug dealers. The higher up you move, you don't see that. So these guys out here on the street corner, we had one street corner, I remember it was about intersection. It might have been 8 guys on each corner come through there, and what you want? What you want? You know, like it was a marketplace or something.
It was like McDonald's drive-through.
So those are the lower level guys. They're very visible. They're very visible and very violent. So everything
and
they do.
Let me tell you, most of those guys are selling drugs to feed their habit. They the lowest one on the food chain. The lowest one. That's not even mid level. Not even mid management. You know? And matter of fact, and I read this. White drug dealers deal big drugs, but guess what? The police don't go after them. They don't go after them. They go after
them. And why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Well, I think some money changing hands. I'm going to say. Some money's being exchanged somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
God, they just don't want them. The prisons, I'm going to say this. I'm going out of them. The prisons are built for black men only. Now, if you bite and you want to get into that lifestyle, that's on you. But we got a lot of preventive measures for you. If you need a program, we'll see you to a program. You need some money for a while, you get on this program. You need housing, you get on that program, even if you're an ex-felon. But a black ex-felon can't get any resources in a lot of states, in a lot of states in this country. Well, you know, I'll call it a show for the night. But I just want to say this, man, that it's, I don't like talking about this type of topics because I don't want people that listen to the show or download the show or anything say, wow, this guy is an angry guy. It's not that I'm an angry guy. It's just that, you know, I've been seeing this all my life, and enough is enough. And telling everybody, every generation, you have to do this, you have to do this, and we keep on making the same mistakes. And somehow, you know, our culture is becoming the same because we keep on making the same mistakes every generation. And, you know, and somehow we just got to cut these ties. And, you know, we got to cut these ties, you know, because It's not good for our health. It's not good for our mental health. It's not good for our emotional health. And also, it's not good for our physical health. Carl, thank you for calling to the show, man. I'm great sign now.
Thank you. All right, brother.
I listen to you Saturday night.
All right, bro.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Carl.
Peace out. All right.
You know, and like I'm really getting tired of the same old stuff. And then we try to be like them. We want to go to their schools. We want to live in their neighborhoods. Look, you move to that white neighborhood if you want to, and you come home at midnight from work, your second job, and you get off the public transportation, and you walking up the block, and you walk like somebody they looking for, you're a dead man. So that's why I say let's slow our roll and let's look at some alternatives. Let's look at some alternatives. Well, that's it for this week. I'll see you next week. And we're going to discuss an alternative. I have a guest on next week. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am.
Hold it now. Use in a battle.